Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see a show of hands. Who here is really busy? I'm not sure whether I was expecting more hands or less hands, but whoever said that summer was supposed to be calm and easy clearly was not a pastor. For myself, I was talking with my brother and sister on Friday evening over Zoom, our regular Friday evening chats, and going through my week, and I realized that I'd been busy doing different things in one form or another just about every single day last week. Not that there's anything wrong with that, a lot of that is good, and it's become such an ingrained thing in our society, in our culture, that we need to be busy with all the time with something or other, otherwise you're wasting your life. We seem to find a lot of different ways to be busy. Work or the daily grind of going to work and coming home and chores and all of that. Family activities that take up every single evening of the week during the school year, leaving absolutely no time to spend together as a family or to have dinner as a family instead of in the family car. Vacations where you get away from everything, only to realize that you need a vacation from the vacation because you scheduled yourself so many different things to do. So, next show of hands. Who here really needs rest? I know I do, and no, the sermon is not nap time. And yet, where should we turn to find the rest that we so desperately need? To the world? Now, the world talks a lot about rest and the idea of rest, which most of the time comes down to not doing what you need to do and instead doing things that you want to do or taking time to simply not do things. Scientists have conducted many, many studies, I wonder how they sleep, about how much sleep is actually necessary at different stages of life and as well as the specific times for sleep. As just one example, when we are much, much younger, you need a lot more sleep. As you get older, the necessary amount of sleep to feel refreshed starts to decrease a little bit. Or, interestingly, as a teenager, teens typically need to, their body clock is a little different. And so they tend to stay up later and feel tired in the morning. Because you need to sleep in more and you're not as tired earlier in the evening. But even when we get older, we do still need at least 6 to 8 hours of sleep, but do we always or ever get enough? I know I don't always get enough. Or get 6 to 8. Relaxing getaways are a normal part of the summer. After all, how many people are away right now on vacation or are going to be leaving right after church? I promise that this won't go too long, so you can get on the road. But how many people are planning vacations? Spas, health treatments, all of that is common and normal. People talk about how they just need to get away from it all, to unplug for a while, perhaps to go and live in a cabin in the woods with no internet, no cell service, no responsibility, just swim or hunt or fish or hike all day. Or simply just turn off the phone for a few days so no one can reach them and stop checking social media. Or even more simply, stop watching the news. You have no idea how calming it is to not be paying attention to the world around. And none of these types of rest are necessarily a bad thing. It is good, and it's important to take time for yourself, take time away from the busyness of life. It's valuable to spend that time with family, with those you love, to do things together that you might not otherwise do. Sabbath rest is important. Jesus himself needed to take time away from the crowd for prayer and for rest after he had spent days and weeks teaching and healing all of the crowds that were coming to him. For all, so often we focus on Sabbath in the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We focus so much on Sabbath as worship time without considering that it also includes time to rest from labor. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. However, can any of these forms of temporal rest or earthly rest truly satisfy our deeper need for rest, the spiritual exhaustion which I think every single one of us feels at one point or another? The vacation needs to end. You need to go back to work eventually to pay for the next vacation. The family has to go home. The mani-pedi you got yesterday will wear off in a couple of weeks or something. I don't know how those things work. The daily grind is going to return with all of the pressures and expectations of the world poured on top of us. All of these burdens that the world places on you cannot be removed by the world. Ultimately, universally, whatever rest the world can give us is temporary. The rest that we truly need is an eternal rest. And this is where we come to our message in our gospel reading from Jesus today. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can try to find rest in the things of this life, but that kind of rest is never going to suffice, not permanently. You're still going to be tired the next day, and you're still going to have to go back to work next week. In fact, it is the pressures that this world places on us that place such a heavy burden on us. And yet, Jesus offers us something so much better than anything we can expect in this life. The rest that Jesus offers is released from all of those burdens, all of those things that weigh us down here, even those burdens that we don't realize that we are carrying. Are you struggling under the weight of your sins, under the desires that you know run contrary to God's plan and purpose for your life? You know that it is wrong for you to act on that impulse, but you struggle and are wearied by the struggle against it. You know that that desire is against God's will, but it remains dragging on you. You want to do the right thing, but you just can't bring yourself to do it. As Paul said in our gospel, in our epistle reading, that the good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I do not want, that I do. What a burden that places on us. God's law is a burden far greater than anything we can bear on our own. And Jesus takes the struggle to live up to the law's restrictions off our shoulders. You cannot obey God's law perfectly, so he does it for you. Your obedience to the law is not the thing that has saved you. You are saved by Jesus, by what he has done for you. The law has no power over you. You are free. So what about those struggles in your life, in your relationships? Whatever is happening, illness, family conflict, employment trouble, grief, loss, Jesus gives rest. God has a plan for your life. Even when we don't know what that plan is, we at least trust in the one who has control over all things in heaven and on earth. Now, this doesn't mean that all of these things, everything in this life, that it is always going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that these things are all going to be taken away right off the bat. We will still struggle in this life. We do still need rest in this life. But the rest that we have in God, the comfort of knowing that we are at peace in Him, that gives us strength to continue through life. Our sense of identity, it does not come from the things of this life, job, family, health. It comes instead from Him, from our identity as children of God. But the rest that we have in Jesus, the release of our burdens that He offers, it is not just for us to relax and do nothing. God does still have a plan for us, as Jesus lays out in the rest of our reading. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. After taking away the yoke of the law, Jesus says He places another yoke on us. What kind of rest is this if there is something God expects of us after all? Well, I think the question we need to ask is, what kind of yoke is this? Now, a yoke is a harness placed on a beast of burden to help it to carry a specific load. The yoke here is different from the one that the law placed on us, though it does still bear some similarities. God's law gives instructions for all of life, and those instructions do not change, even as Jesus takes away the burden of the law. The law is still there, even for us as Christians, and yet the law has lost its force. We are not commanded to obey the law because we merit eternal life, we earn eternal life by what we do. We are not threatened with the fires of hell if we do not obey. We have the rest in Jesus. Our hope is secure in Him. And so instead, the law is there as a guide showing us how we live in this life in love. That's the motivation of the law for Christians, is love. Love for God, love for those around us. I seek to follow where God directs to show God's love to those around me, not because I have to, but because I love and I want to. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we are saved by God's grace, by God's action for us. Period. But now, as His saved people, we are His workmanship, created for the good works that He has prepared for us. This yoke, it's not something that we can bear on our own, of course. This yoke is not one that is made for one person, but for two, for Jesus to bear it alongside us. We do still fall short. We cannot obey Jesus perfectly. We need God's forgiveness day after day for all of those times that we try to go our own way, that we try to do our own thing, that we get so wrapped up in the busyness of this life that we lose sight of His plan, of the way that He has laid before us. And yet, over and over, every single time, Jesus forgives us. He bears it for us so that we can follow where He leads. But on that note, perhaps the yoke that Jesus bears, it is just for one. A yoke that is impossible for any of us to bear, yet which was laid on each one of us. the yoke of a rough wooden cross, which we could never have borne for ourselves. But Jesus bore that yoke for us. He bore it to his death. He bore it into the tomb where he finally rested and laid that yoke down. And because he bore our burden of sin for us, he gives us eternal rest with him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.